Last week we began a series, a sermon on faith, looking in James. James has a lot to say about faith, and so we're looking at faith according to James, which is according to God's Word. And so we discovered last week that faith that is biblical, saving faith, has three aspects. Number one, it's belief. And then number two is trust. And number three is commitment. Belief is fact related. It's foundational because God's Word and the Gospel are truth. We must believe that God's Word is absolutely true. If not, then we're not going to get very far. We can't be saved without faith, without believing that. But it takes more than belief. James 2:19 says the devils also believe and tremble. And trust goes beyond the facts and speaks to the reliability of the person. We know God exists, but we must trust Him. You know, a lot of times we know people, but we just really can't trust them completely. Well, we must trust God and believe that God's going to take care of us. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. So we must trust Him. And thirdly, commitment. Commitment's the third part. It means action. If we believe God and we trust God, then we're going to commit ourselves completely to Him, because faith without works is dead. James has quite a bit to say about that. And so we need to commit our lives to Him and begin to do those things that give evidence. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, repent and do works meet of salvation, or do works that give evidence of salvation. So people ought to be able to see us, watch us, the way we act and conduct ourselves, things we do, places we go. They should know by our all that we are, that we are believers, that we have accepted Christ as our Savior and let Him come Lord of our lives. We've committed ourselves to Him. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we commit our lives to Him, believing that He is in fact our Savior. He is in fact God's only begotten Son that suffered and died to pay our sin debt. The third day He rose from the dead, descended to the right hand of the Father, where He's making intercession for you and me today. So we believe that. We trust Him and we commit our lives to Him. In chapter 1 of James, he tells us, first of all, he identifies himself, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's writing to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, he says. So he's writing to the 12 tribes, he's writing to the Jews, and he's encouraging them, and he begins the first subject that he deals with is a subject that I feel like most of us could use some encouragement in, because it's dealing with when we go through difficulties, when we go through tribulation, when we go through trials. So anybody here that hadn't been through a trial lately? Even if I asked for hands to be raised, I know there wouldn't be any raised, because we've all been through trials. We all go through trials on a regular basis. And so James deals with that here. beginning in the second verse. In verse 2 of chapter 1 of James, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or in various trials. We all go through them. Daily we go through trials of one sort or another. Some are a lot more difficult than others. Some are more interesting, we could say, than others. But we go through trials every day. And so James reminds us that, number one, when we think about the trials of life as a believer, we ought to we think about what Jesus endured for us. And if we really believe that Jesus endured all those trials for us because he loves us that much, then we ought to be willing to suffer some for him, right? If somebody's done so much for you, then you probably will be willing to do a little bit of something for them, and you're willing to suffer some for them. And so James reminds us that we ought to be willing to suffer. As a matter of fact, he says, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Sometimes it's hard to do, isn't it, to be joyful when you're going through a really difficult trial in life. It's hard to smile, keep your head up, and keep moving forward. But that is what we need to do. And if we will be obedient to God's Word, we can get there. Okay? We don't start there, but we mature. It's kind of like our athletes, you know. Our athletes go to the weight room, and they lift weights. And they don't quit when they get tired. They don't quit the first time it hurts. They keep on keeping on. Not just because they appreciate the coach and him trying to help them out, but because they have a desire to be strengthened so that they can be a better athlete, so that they can be better at what they want to do in life. Our runners, you know, we got track and field, and they... Yeah, they run. They don't stop running when they get hot. They don't stop when their leg muscles start to hurt and crap. They keep on running. They keep on running. And that's the way we build the muscles and we get stronger. Well, Paul talks about the fact that we need to build some muscle by going through these temptations. Spiritual muscle. You know, we need to have our faith strengthened, and that's how we do that, is by exercising our faith. And we become stronger. We become more mature as we endure those things and going through those difficulties in life. We just keep on keeping on, even when it hurts. We keep on keeping on. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, wrote that we ought to glory in tribulation because it strengthens us. In chapter 5 of Romans, Paul was writing to the church there at Rome. And in the first several verses there, Paul writes this. Romans chapter 5, beginning verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace, unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we see here Paul encouraging us to endure those difficulties, endure those trials, endure those temptations. And he tells us what it does when we endure them. The tribulation works patience. Okay? The more tribulation we experience, then the more patient we become. In those tribulations, how can we become more patient? When we have experienced that trial, and we have managed to get through that with God's help, because we've turned it over to Him, we've allowed Him to work it out instead of trying to do it on our own. You remember Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 again, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And so, it's hard to do sometimes. Hard, a lot of times, for us to just trust God. We're in a difficult situation, and in too many times, instead of just saying, well, God, it's yours. You know, I'm going to just sit back and trust you. I'm going to be patient and wait on you to get me through this situation. You know. Most of the time, what most of us do is start trying to figure out how we're going to resolve this issue ourselves. You know, what we're going to do to get through this time. You know, it may be somebody that's, you know, it's causing us a lot of problems or whatever, and we start devising these plans about, you know, sometimes we won't just tell God, we know He's busy, if He will just take a break, we'll handle this on our own, you know. I'll take care of him, you know. And that's what a lot of times we try to do, is we try to resolve the issue on our own instead of just putting it in God's hands and leaving it there. But if we'll just go ahead and put it in God's hands and leave it there and watch him work, and then when we see him work it out in ways that just blow our mind, that seem impossible for things to happen that way, and then it builds our faith and our strength. And we, because of the experience and experiencing these over and over, the more we experience that, the more patient we become and able to wait on God and just let God take care of it. You see? And then that goes along with the experience. You know, patience, experience, the more we experience, the more patient we are, then the stronger our faith grows, the more mature we become in faith, and the more we're able to just trust God and let Him take care of the situation. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus reminds us that these things are going to happen. You know, we're not exempt from difficulties. We're not exempt from trials and tribulations. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." He didn't say, if you'll put your faith in me, you won't ever have a trial. No, he said, rather, that you need to put your faith in me so that you can have faith, because in this world you are going to have some trials. You're going to have some tribulation. But he didn't stop there. He said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He said, put your faith and trust in me. You're going to go through some difficult times. They're going to be rough. A lot of times they're really going to be tough. But he said, don't worry about that. Put your faith in me. I've overcome the world already. And so he's already an overcomer, and we can be overcomers. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. When we put our faith, we put our trust in him, we can be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Again, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus in chapter number 6 of Ephesians, beginning in verse 10, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Who's the author of all these tribulations, all these trials, all these difficulties that you're experiencing? It's the devil. The devil do his best to trip you up, cause you to fall, cause you to stumble. He can't take your salvation. If you're saved, the devil can't take that because it's eternal. If you've genuinely repented of your sins, trust in Jesus to be your Savior and let Him become Lord of your life, you receive eternal life. And that's not temporary. It's not ending. And so the devil knows he can't take your salvation, but his desire is to destroy your witness. Okay? He wants to kill your testimony. He wants to make you ineffective in leading somebody else to faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's where all this comes from, is from the devil. So he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith." Faith, that's what James is trying to encourage us on, is faith. He said, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Here, Paul writing to the Romans there, the church at Rome, and he tells him, you need to put on the whole armor of God. Don't be unprepared. These difficulties, these trials and tribulations are, it's not a flesh and blood battle. Sometimes, we get the idea it's flesh and blood. Somebody comes against us. They start causing us trouble. They may start falsely accusing us or bullying us or whatever the case might be, causing us trouble, and it seems like it's that individual that is the problem, but it's the devil. It's a spiritual battle, and the devil will work through whomever he can to cause you problems, to try to get you to stumble, to try to get you to fall, to try to get you to do something that's not Christ-like, so those that you've been witnessing to, those that have been watching your life, that are considering trusting Jesus as Savior because of your life, because of the example you're setting, the devil wants to cause you to stumble and fall and do something that's not Christ-like, and then he's going to magnify that to that person that's under conviction, that person that's wanting to accept the Christ that you profess. Then the devil's going to say, they professed all this stuff, but you see what happens, They get mad just like everybody else. They go off and use a bunch of profanity or, all this stuff that's certainly not, Christ-like. So, you see who you're looking at. The devil wants to point those things out And that's what he wants to do, is he wants you to stumble and mess up your witness for Christ, so that you will not be the effective witness to those that are around you. So James again tells us that we ought to joy when we fall into various trials. Paul said, you know, he said he takes joy in trials and tribulations. I'm still struggling. I'm not there where Paul was yet. You know, I hadn't gotten to the point where I just get excited and you know, just get all excited when I get to go through another trial. You know, when somebody else starts making false accusations or something, you know, I hadn't gotten to where I really enjoy that. But I am where I know that I don't have to defend it, you know. God will take care of it. God will take care of you. There's a song we sing, and that's the message. God will take care of you. And so we just need to put our faith and trust in Him. So as we learn and to try to, you know, joy in our trials, because when our faith is tried, then it develops patience. You know, the more we get through a trial, you know, and we look back and say, boy, God really worked that out. You know, I never would have believed that, you know, that person that was giving me so much problems would wind up being a good friend. You know, and that's God. You know, God's able to do those things. And so the more we experience, the more we see God working, the more we're able to recognize God at work, then the more we will become patient and be able to wait on Him. Patience is a virtue. It's a virtue that I don't pray a lot for, because I know what it takes to get patience. It takes a lot of trial to get patient. So if you want some trials, you just start praying for God to give you some patience, you know. And He'll give you some, you know. The ability to lean on Him and trust Him. And the more you do that, the more patient you will become. And so James reminds us there that that in that verse number 4 or verse number 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It develops patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, we're not talking about, you know, we're going to be that perfect person like Jesus was. And, you know, but this perfect is talking more like complete. You know, we'll be more like Christ and more able to lean on Him and realize that we really are not wanting, you know, we don't want anything. We don't want for anything. It's kind of like the 23rd Psalm, remember? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, that means that when He's our shepherd, then He's going to take care of us. And so we're not in want for things that we need, because God has promised over and over and over that He would take care of our needs. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And in that scripture, that particular scripture in Matthew chapter 6, in the preceding verses, He's talking about physical needs. He's talking about food. He's talking about clothing. He's talking about housing. And He said, if you'll put Me first, you won't have to worry about those things. I will see to it that you have the things that you need. And that's the God that we serve, who not only has promised, but He is faithful to do that. He will, in fact, supply our need. He will take care of every need that we have. And then Paul said again in Romans chapter 1, in verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so we need to be experiencing, we're going to experience these difficulties, but we need to let God take care of us and get us through those situations. We don't need to do it on our own. We need to trust Him and let Him get us through, and we don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. We need to be willing and bold to share the gospel. That scripture I read you just a few minutes ago about where Paul was writing to him, telling him to put on the whole armor. He said, praying for everyone and praying specifically for me, that I will be bold in sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, praying for him to be bold and never ashamed to share the good news of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul again told Timothy, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Again, be willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. Don't get beat down and upset when you endure affliction, when you endure tribulation, trials, for the cause of Christ. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. And so, we see that James is encouraging us. Paul does a lot of encouraging about enduring trials. And here James is talking to us about how our faith works for us, to work patience in those trials, to work patience, and we become stronger as we endure these trials, so that we can become more mature in the faith. And then he says, if you lack wisdom, verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." But he goes on to tell us that when we ask God, we need to have faith. We need to believe. We've got to believe that God is able to take care of us. We've got to trust Him. Remember the three aspects. You believe. If you believe God, you believe His Word, then you need to trust Him to do exactly what He said He'll do, and you need to commit your life to Him. Commit to believe and allow Him to work through you. And if you really genuinely believe and you trust, then you will commit your life to Him and allow Him to have control of your life so that you will become more mature in the faith, and you will you'll stop allowing those trials and tribulations to beat you down. You know, a lot of times we see somebody that's just really seems to be a great dynamic Christian, or at least they profess that, and then they come up on a trial and they say, "Look, I don't know what I'm going to do." You know, well, if you're a believer, you ought to know what you're going to do. Or you know what you ought to do is you're going to trust God. You're going to turn it over to Him. And you're going to let Him work things out. You're going to let Him work through that situation and give you direction to get through that and depend on Him and not yourself. So don't get beat down when you suffer a trial and you go through going through a difficult time. You know, we go through trials in marriage. You know, we start having some difficulties in marriage. And the first thing we do is start, you know, we're trying to figure out what I'm going to do to solve this thing. Instead of turning over to God. You know? And I tell you, the more a couple is following God and staying close to Him and trying to grow in the faith, the less problem they'll have getting through a difficulty. Now, they're going to have some trials because, again, the devil's he's going to try to bring problems. And he'll bring them in a marriage, you know, to try to destroy. Again, to try to destroy relationships, to try to destroy your witness. But we need to have faith that's not a wavering faith. He talks about here about the waves being tossed to and fro. Most of us know people that that change their mind as the wind changes directions. You've been around somebody like that, you know. One time they're all the way this way, and the next time they're going the opposite direction. You know, change your mind every time the wind changes direction. Well, James says that kind of prayer when you're not committed, not really believing, not really trusting, then your prayer is probably not going to be answered. You know, so you need to be praying, not wavering. But you pray, because a double-minded man, he says, is unstable in his ways. So pray, pray believing, pray without ceasing. And so that God will help you through your difficulties. Again, Romans, Paul again writing the church at Rome in chapter 8, verse 31 through 39, he said, "What shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Think about that. If God is for you, then what difference does it make who's against you? Who can overcome God? Who can beat God? You know? It's impossible. And so we need to get a hold of that. If God be for us, who can be against us? What difference does it make what someone says about me? If I'm a child of the King, if I'm God's child, then God's fighting my battle for me, then I don't need to be concerned about what somebody else says about me or what somebody else threatens me with. Because if God be for us, he said, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Again, he's promised over and over to meet our needs. Now, he don't promise to give us everything we want, because a lot of the things we want, we don't need. You know, if we got the things that we want, a lot of times we really want something, and then when we get it, we realize we really didn't want that. You know, we shouldn't have wanted that because it didn't work out the way we thought it would. You know, so he'll take care of, he'll meet all of our needs. He will take care of everything we need, and not just what we need. He gives us a lot of our wants too. You know, when we're faithful to him, he blesses us. I've been blessed way beyond anything that I could ever think or imagine. God has blessed me, not only in taking care of the needs, but beyond that. You know, and I'm thankful for that. Not because I'm anything special. I trust God. I depend on God, and God has blessed. And if God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, when we put our faith and trust in God, who can come against us? You know, oh, Satan's going to try. And he's got his army out there, and he'll use everyone that will allow him to use them to try to beat you down, try to discourage you. But Satan is a liar. As a matter of fact, Jesus said about Satan, not only is he a liar, but he's the father of lies. Satan, he's the father of lies. Don't believe what he says. You know, he will try to mislead you and discourage you. So when you go into a trial, don't get discouraged. Be patient. Put it in God's hands. Trust Him. And then just watch to see what He's doing. It will blow your mind sometimes how God is able to work through your trials, through your difficulties, your tribulations, how He's able to resolve issues that seem to be unresolvable, how He will help you to get over obstacles that seem unsurmountable. But with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. Don't give up and don't give out. Just keep looking up to Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. If God be for us, who can be against us? You're going to face some trials. Some of you are going through some right now. Some of you are going through some tough trials right now. I don't know what they are, but I can tell you who does know. God knows. God knows what your trial is. And I can tell you something else. God is able to get you through that trial that you're right in the middle of right now. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Trust the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Father, we love You. God, we thank You so much. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your presence here today. God, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the truthfulness and the trustworthiness of Your Word. God, right now, I pray for every person that's seated in this building. God, there are needs. We all have needs. You know what those needs are. God, if there's one here that has never trusted You genuinely to be Lord of their life, to be their Savior, or there's some that know what they need to do, but they're waiting for a better time. They're waiting for later on. Lord, they want to enjoy life, and then one day they're going to trust Jesus. Or they don't realize that Satan has them blinded. They just think they're enjoying life, but they're not really enjoying life because they have no life outside of relationship with You. Lord, I thank you that you have promised that you came so that we could have life and have it more abundantly here and now. So, Lord, I pray for that person who's struggling, who's never trusted you, that today would be the day of salvation. For that person who has trusted you and they've allowed Satan to distract them and discourage them, they're going through a tough time. Lord, there are people today, even here, that are going through a trial, a difficult trial, a tough place in their life. God, they need your help today. Lord, help them to just give it to you and allow you to work that situation out. Or whatever the needs are. God, as we take this time to respond, Lord, I pray that you speak to these people, that those who have needs will not hold back, but that they will surrender to you and to your Lordship today. It's in Christ's name and for your sake we pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. Music is playing. If God has spoken to you, if there's a need in your heart, something that you need to do, never been saved, you need to trust Jesus today. He will forgive you. He'll save you. He'll give you life, abundant life, like you've never experienced before. You just trust Him. Maybe there are others that have other problems. Right now.